How's
if
that?
If I ran now, I reckon I would die. My body's not ready for any activity. I've been sick for 2 weeks, so.
Oh, really?
I've just come off it. Like, it's just the last little, you know, you get the last
you've
little
been sick mid-festival, like.
Yeah.
That's the worst. What a rough trot.
It's been fucking killing me. It's been a whole week in bed. To be honest, I think my body needed it, that little recovery.
Yeah,
I went for a run today because I'm going to die alone. But that's okay. We're going to be okay. It's fine.
Well, yeah. Are we back into talking about that?
Is it a running again?
By the time this comes out, like, people have probably had, you know, 2 or 3 weeks ago on the Patreon and,
yeah,
you know what I mean?
But well, I don't know if you know already, but Chloe, that Kelly got broken up with the other night, so.
Oh, my God. Seriously?
What a fucking dumb.
Was it?
Look, was again. It a, again. Yeah. Again.
That's
you're
the.
You're like, seriously, you have the. I feel so bad for you. You have the worst luck.
We did the Patreon yesterday, and obviously we're doing the live one today. And in the Patreon one, we went in really in depth about what happened and things like that. And you know, we've done it there. But at the end of it, I was like shell shocked, and I had to go do a gig where Celia was.
Yeah.
And I just walked up to her and I gave her a hug, and she's like, "Hey, man." I was like, "Kelly." She's like, "I know."
Yeah.
I know.
She really liked him too. She was like, "This is a good one."
Yeah, right.
I was like, man.
Was it anything atrocious? Wasn't a drive by this time?
Where
he was like, he stayed like it was a 4 hour cry fest. It was
oh,
good.
Okay, yeah. All right, right. So it feels like something's happening rather than just a drive by.
He's good.
That's why I couldn't get. I normally like to get angry at them, but I couldn't because he just did the right thing.
Yeah, for sure.
I deleted his any messages from him. I deleted straight away.
Yeah,
like unfollowed on Instagram. Deleted his messages on my phone. Like, it's gone.
Yeah, wow.
All evidence of him. I went through my phone. Any photos of him? Done.
Yeah, wow. Just, yeah.
Like, really?
Immediately, within the hour, they're out. Because I cannot have any contact with them. You know?
Yeah, right,
just
right.
Once you're out, you're out.
Yeah. So you woke up about an hour ago, Chloe.
That's all right.
Should introduce our guest.
Oh, yeah, we should do that. Very
comedian, I don't know, Melbourne/Tassie comedian.
Tassie.
Yeah. Tassie now.
Is it Hobart? Yeah. It's Hobart.
Yeah.
Chloe Black.
Hey, hello everybody. Hello,
welcome.
Guys. How are you going?
How's the festival been treating you?
It's good. It's good. I've just actually like got the. I've got starting to get the festival flu.
Stanley.
So like, my voice sounds not pretty today.
Oh my god.
But you know,
you're our first trans woman.
Oh, serious?
Yes.
Oh, cool. Awesome.
This is really cool for us.
We're very excited.
And my voice is like so transy.
You're like, it's a flu. It's a flu. Yeah.
What? It's a great show, doll.
Like Carlotta.
I'm actually meeting,
darling.
Because we've gigged.
Thanks,
for,
love. Thanks.
We've gigged for over a year. Like last time I was in Hobart a few times and things like that. And I've been so excited to get you on the podcast. Plus, you listen to the podcast, which is even fucking greater.
I love it. I freaking love it.
Oh, yeah. That's so sweet.
So we were hanging out. We're like, man, when the fuck is Chloe in town? And it hasn't worked a few times. And now
that's really
it
nice.
It's finally worked and I'm fucking so stoked.
That makes me feel nice.
You kind of broke my podcast cherry. Like I kind of like, I was like, oh, there's this thing everyone's into. And I'm like the worst past person. It takes me decades sometimes to catch up. I only discovered like Led Zeppelin 4 years ago.
You're like, what's his friend's show?
Yeah. Seinfeld. Thing.
That's right.
Some guy called Jerry.
What's this ER?
That was a good show. Yeah, it was a good show.
I liked ER.
I loved it.
Anyway, So we were the cherry, were we?
Yeah. Well, I just went. My friends are doing this thing. I should check it out. And I just was like immediately hooked. And I went, oh, there's this whole world of stuff out there.
Oh yeah.
So
it's
like, you know.
Don't you dare close your eyes.
I had to learn that for a karaoke once, and
it's the best.
It was actually pretty good. I was pretty impressed with myself.
I'm a big one on the look at this stuff. Isn't it neat? Wouldn't you believe my collection's complete?
Little Mermaid. This is not a visual medium, but Brett was staring directly through Kelly.
Through my soul. Chloe.
Yes.
I want to know everything.
Okay, well, ask away.
I know. It's one of those episodes again where tell us everything.
Like, this is like on par with like Bella or Liv.
I am the font of all knowledge.
But this is because it's good because like I remember about 2 years ago I went out on a date with a guy and we walked past the Peel and he goes, oh, look at all those trannies. I remember going, I'm out.
Yeah.
There's something about a guy that uses that word that makes me go, I don't want to fuck you.
And yeah, I will call myself on it because I didn't realise any connotations before. Like, I'd said that word previously about three years ago and got called on it. And it just, unfortunately, was stuck in my Perth brain. And I was like, oh, yeah, that's a fucking slur. Like, you know, I never thought.
Well, you don't know until someone tells you. And they're like, it's almost like, you know, there's all these different bubbles that we all live in.
Yeah.
And like, you know, the trans bubble is kind of streets away from the straight bubble. And so people just go, oh, there's this weird word. And, you know, and then they realise that,
Perth suburbs as well. And I'd never, none of my friends, only until recently I've had a few friends who had transitioned and obviously tried now to be more sensitive and proactive with my word choice and things like that.
Yeah.
But you know, going back 4 years ago in fucking the suburbs and you go, I didn't know. I didn't know.
But Brett, that's exactly, you are exactly what is great about, I don't know, industry, the country, the world, where someone like yourself and myself, who grew up with words like tranny, faggot, those horrible words, who as an adult, retarded. You know, you used to say retarded 3 years ago.
I still slip up and say the word.
And it's like, and I'm not going to say you can't say it. I'm like, just so you know where it comes from.
My feeling is basically that, like, I think it's ripe for reclaiming. I think that basically as a trans person, maybe it's like the N-word. I can use it. No one else can. But at the same time, it has such a strange history because it has been amongst trans community. It's been like it's over 40, 50 years old. And it's like,
and it's a venomous word.
Yeah, yeah. But sometimes trans women would use it as a sign of affection between each other, as a kind reclamation of it.
Yeah.
But then, you know, just the straighties all kind of going, you know.
Like, such straighties. Yeah. Living on a farm and, with a hat.
And Australia love a slang word as well. You know what I mean? Yeah. It just rolls off the tongue, but then you don't even think about it.
Yeah.
It's actually got a bit of a negative.
But I also think that, you know, if it's used maliciously, you can tell.
Yeah.
So, you know, it's like the you can use it as a form of affection, or if I can use it in reference to myself, then it's sort of like, you know, it's kind of, it's all, I mean, but no words. Anyway.
One day I was on the subway in New York and there was a bunch of kids, like 12-year-old kids, like a lot of black youths, and they were calling each other N-word, like in the most genuine, like, yo, my blah, 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 like friends, mates. And then down the subway car was a woman who looked about 75, 80, all black woman. And she was staring at these kids, man, with such a fucking, like, well, you could
that,
tell.
That generation of thing that she'd been called that in that way, but now it's the young. Yeah.
You could tell she was just like, I don't like that word. Yeah. And she was furious at them. And I know that they're like, well, we're reclaiming it, but it also identifies that these kids, because of the people that fought for them before them, they don't understand what that word means.
Exactly.
So, and that's why
they've never probably had it spoken to them directly at them. No. You know what I mean? Been called it relentlessly. No. And been like,
they're in all black neighborhoods. They've never gone to Wisconsin. They don't know that racism.
Exactly.
But this chick fucking sat on the bus.
Yeah, wow.
She was in, you know what I mean?
Yeah,
like, she fucking lived
it
all.
Yeah.
And I feel like that's the same where, and I find with a lot of, and this is what my problem was with RuPaul Drag Race season 10, was that
specifically the season 10 episode
3, Scott Free.
Yeah. And I've had this conversation with multiple people that love that season, is that all those queens in that show were really young and they had no, there was no adversity to overcome as a drag queen.
Yeah,
like,
right.
They were all like, my life's amazing. They were rich, blah, 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 and there was no substance to it.
Yeah,
but you've got to get the drag queens that are in that, like, this one went to, like, a conversion camp. This one got kicked out of his home. This one's been doing it for 25 years.
Yeah, you want those, like, stories that are, like, you know, totally rich and deeper rather than, like, just, oh, here we go, best of the bunch.
Because they don't know. Like, this, look, this kid here, the kid that won, was a 23-year-old who's been dressing up in drag since he was 12.
Has,
in New York City, so has always been embraced, has never had to overcome shit. And there's something about that, and I feel like that way about comedians sometimes, where, you know what I mean, if you've got this blessed life, I'm like, I don't relate to you, I don't know what you're talking about.
Yeah, exactly. And I think that's another flip side of that, is like the way that communities, especially queer communities or even other communities, can get factionalized and stuff like that. And
yeah,
I factionalized, so it's always like, well, you're less, more trans than me, or I'm more trans than you. Or,
well, that,
I'm, like,
that was a weird thing I found speaking to Kyron Wheatley the other, about two episodes ago, and there's such a, there's also a rift within the community of in the LGBTQ, fuck, I'm always bad with that. You know what I mean?
Sorry, don't ask a man.
There's too many letters for a dyslexic brain.
Don't ask a man with dyslexia.
I call it Team Rainbow. That's all.
Team Rainbow. Oh, that's so much better. Yeah. Even in Team Rainbow, there's still, you know, there's divides within groups, and then bisexuals aren't given as much. You know what I mean? And I'm like, wow, there's always rifts within communities.
And what annoys me about that, and maybe this is speaking from my age or something, but there are thousands of people, well, not thousands, but people in the history of their community who fought so hard for them to now just be complacent and complain and bitch to each other. It's like you have, this is a luxury you have to like to tear each other down or like have riffs or beefs or like, you know, feel that somehow someone is of a lesser status or doesn't deserve your respect. It's like, man, you know, 20 years ago, you were all fighting to just be visible.
Be alive. Yeah.
Be heard.
Yeah.
And, like, so, and I feel like sometimes with females in stand-up as well.
Yeah, for sure.
Like,
yeah,
because there's women that fought and, you know what I mean? And I came in at a time where I was the only woman on the bill like 10 years ago and there was shit. And now I'm like, fuck, it's, they got it so good. Like, and then if I see one of them complain, I mean, there are some massive issues.
Yeah.
Sometimes it'll be like, wow, there was only four women on the bill, you know, not six. I'll be like, yeah, the old
workhorse in the back. I'm back like, in my day, sweetheart, you'd be lucky you saw one. And that was generally a bloody, you know, you never know.
In my day, dick jokes came out of my mouth. Fuck.
So, you have no idea, youngins.
So, Chloe, when did you know?
Sorry, that's all right.
To fuck off.
Well,
or
first cab off the rank. Calm down.
I know. I just want to go back. So when everything makes more sense.
Well, it's difficult to really pinpoint because, of course, like you know, everybody's like everyone. I mean, there's always everyone talks about having the narrative, and so the narrative is kind of like follows the similar lines. Like, you know, gay people always say, "Oh, I always knew," or something like that. And there's a trans narrative, but. What's annoying about that is that that there's this narrative which kind of takes hold and mainstream society goes, oh, if that's your narrative, then you're trans. But, like, you know, I had lots of inklings about myself when I was really young.
Yeah.
Only because, like, just I was, like, maybe starting primary school and I was just really annoyed that there were all these different rules for boys and different rules for girls. I was always, like, I was gravitating towards, like, I had lots of female friends. I was really into things that were quite feminine. But then I started realizing, I was looking around going, oh, everybody wants me to be different to this. And this is, like, not, you know, everyone's expecting me to behave a certain way.
Certain way, blues, and so, pinks.
This is...
Yeah.
Already, just, you know, this is breaking my fucking heart.
Oh,
God. Like, already I'm like, fuck, you know?
Yeah. So it's kind of like just going, like, all right, so, you know, everyone's expecting me to be this way. And so I think, if I think back, that's maybe like the first kernel of an idea where I thought, like, maybe I'm a little bit different. But, you know, you keep plowing along and going, well, everyone's expecting me to be A, B, and C, so I might as well
maybe
just, like,
maybe there's something
play
wrong
along.
With me because I'm not falling in line.
Exactly. And so, but then, you know, there's things you can't avoid. So throughout my whole life, I've always just, like, you know, worn women's clothes in private and just thought, you know, that's my, like, weird thing that I do. And, you know, like,
in, in private, so, like in your bedroom, there's a drawer that has stuff in there.
Yeah, pretty much. Like, really? You know. And that was, like, for a lot of different reasons. But sometimes it would just be, like, it would just make me feel more relaxed. And so it was kind of like, you
like
know.
Around
just,
the house on your own.
Yeah, yeah.
And what kind of stuff would it be? Like a dress
or
underwear or high heels?
Or just, like, sometimes it's, like, you know, someone who's tarted up sometimes.
Really?
Like, you know, sometimes it's like just wanting to feel pretty because I think feeling pretty. I used to always couch it in different kind of like, or, you know, frame it in different ways. So I would sort of say, oh, isn't it weird? Men are denied the privilege or they're denied the experience of feeling pretty. And so, you know, I would sort of be able to give myself a little kind of leeway.
Yeah.
But, you know, it's only when I actually like my marriage kind of exploded and I was like, going, like, I need to really get to the bottom of all these thoughts and feelings because they've never gone away.
When you go back to your marriage, to your partner at the time, was she aware that you were dressing up? And,
well, that was sort of like, you know, one of the first things I sort of said to her was like, you know, while we're being honest with each other, I'm a cross-dresser. And she was like, that's fucking hot.
So, oh, really? Yeah, that's great. Yeah. I love that.
So, you know, there was no secret to that.
Is cross-dresser kind of a bad word?
Well, it has these connotations to it because there's this
Because you're not technically a drag queen.
No. But also, it's kind of what it is a way, is I suppose, it has all these connotations to it, which is a bit, maybe a bit fetishistic or kind of like a kinky kind of thing.
Isn't that weird, though? It's like if a guy put on high heel shoes, there is a connotation of a negative kinkiness.
Yeah,
find, which I don't understand why. But we're wearing those shoes.
Yeah, exactly.
So what's wrong with women if we're wearing...
Yeah. You know, it's really weird because it's kind of like, I think it's just...
It's I'm a fucking frump. So.
I used to talk about it a little bit on stage and I think it's because when you see, when that connotation is a bit sort of like, male sexuality has an incredibly bad rap. So, like, you know,
yeah.
You know, for a man to put a dress on, it's like people, you know, people have this concept that men are all just like, I used to rephrase it as being like, we're just jizz-soaked golems deep in our man cave, like just
well,
like
it's, you it's know. Kind of funny, and so basically, about, yeah, even just talking things about like with like anal play and things like that. There's still that connotation with you know even you know with dresses or anal play. Like people are like, oh man, that's fucking weird. You're like, no, it's my body, my jeans, exactly, my butthole.
Yeah, exactly.
And I'm gonna explore that.
And, yeah, yeah.
Like, you know, like you're gay. Look at you, you're gay.
It's got that.
Oh yeah, yeah it's ridiculous.
It's that jock mentality. Yeah, maybe it's more in Australia culture than as opposed to maybe more European cultures are probably, I like to think, but a little bit more open.
Yeah.
But we're just so scared and like, we're just, if it's not a vanilla scoop out of the fucking punnet, we don't know what we're doing with it. You know
what
I mean?
Exactly.
And everything that's out of the normal. And then eventually the problem is when you start talking to some of your mates, and I've done it numerous times, and a lot of my mates are bloke mates. And I go, and I'm like, straight away, I'll be like, you know, the podcast, you know, I talk about, you know, having a finger in my ass. Like, oh, you've had a finger in your butt, have you? Oh, yeah. And then 2 seconds later, like, yeah, no, I had that as well. It was pretty good. And then you're like, why have we got to fucking do this bravado? You know what I mean?
Yeah.
So I think that hopefully something will erode, you know.
Who was the boss? Like, who was the first guy that made another guy feel bad about a finger in their butt that set off that train reaction? For like, fingers in the butt. Roman times, mate, they were fucking sucking dick. Like, no,
really funny when I went to, some of those Greek cities or whatever, you know, on a tour, and there was lots of, like, images of men and women and women on women. It was actually just like so.
They have those ceramic plates with all the like the porno around the edge and stuff
And somehow it seemed so liberated or like free back then, and somehow we've gotten into this fucking push down thing now. Recently, and hopefully, everything's opening up a bit more.
Yeah, for sure.
And the resistance that don't like it are the ones that are like, oh, they're taking away our rights, or it's those Herald Sun commenters that are like, just let kids be kids.
Yeah,
it's like, but if your kid wants to fucking play with a Barbie doll and you're telling him, stop being a little fucking shit
and
play with a fucking truck, you cunt. That's why we have to fucking intervene, because someone like yourself.
Yeah, for sure.
Like, and you got married.
Yeah,
you got married.
Yeah.
You had a kid.
Did a kid as well.
Fuck.
it's not unheard of. It's happened before.
but
you know, like, yeah, you know, it's like, it's really strange, because it's like, there's this, it's kind of this, what you were saying before about men having this kind of fragility about, like, their bodies and stuff like that. Mm. This idea where they go, I don't want people to think I'm gay, because gays take it up the bum. So if I take something up the bum and I like it, I must be gay.
Taking it up the bum is shit.
Yeah, but like, everyone, and it's about being submissive and not being like, you know, like the alpha dude or something like that. It's actually about being vulnerable, really.
Yeah, I suppose it could be a dominance point.
Yeah,
something coming into you as opposed to.
Yeah, and guys are like, fucking, no way, you know, I might like it.
You know, oh, I hate having big orgasms.
I hate coming twice at the same time. When you were cross-dressing, I say that in talking marks, did you have an inkling that it was more than cross-dressing, that maybe there was a part of you
But this is like where like denial is such a strong like feeling for people, because
how would you even know?
Yeah, because for me it was like, where is this going? How do I feel about this? All I know is it kind of makes me feel relaxed, and makes me feel a bit centered, and makes me feel a bit more me.
To lay on the couch wearing a dress, or
and just like wear a dressing gown or something, even something like that. But it was very much like I would think, because I just, my idea of what trans people and their lives were like was all from things like shit like Jerry Springer and like everything else, and I just was
like freaks,
and I would just go, well, I don't want to lose my job. I don't want to lose my family. I still want my respect to my peers. I still want all this stuff. So I'd go,
such a fucking weight.
What a weight. No wonder there's such a suicide.
Yeah, exactly. So I would sort of go, okay, well, this is comfortable now, and I don't have to, I don't have to wear the slings and arrows of society if it's just happening in my house. And I would entertain the thought. Because, you know, it would happen in different, like, scenarios where I would go, you know, maybe you could do it. Would one day you be able to do this all the time? And I'd go, oh, what would I have to accomplish to make that happen?
What would, like, you know, involved?
I know that I don't have passing privilege. People can tell I'm trans by looking at me, or, you know, now and again. Sometimes I have lucky days where people can't tell, but it's like, you know, and I would go, oh, you know, how does it make me feel that, you know, people wouldn't be able to tell, because, like, in a very straight society, like, in men wearing dresses, or people perceived as men wearing dresses, there's a loss of status. They kind of, this idea that to see a guy wearing a dress is kind of like a way of saying, like, oh, you're not you've lost status in society. So, you know,
yeah, like when you see at bucks parties and things,
yeah,
like that,
it's, yeah, it's a form of humiliation in a way. And it's like,
which is why,
imagine a guy in a dress, how weird's that, you know what
yeah
I mean?
Yeah,
which is why I knew and I didn't know how to put my finger on it, why I always had a problem with the footy show.
Yeah,
when they would
yeah
dress up as women and everyone would laugh.
Yeah, yeah.
Because
I find
it's
that
like,
so
look
weird.
At him, he's dressed as a woman. Isn't that so funny?
Am yeah, I, yeah. He's got a wig on again.
Yeah,
and then fuck.
Yeah,
this
yeah
type of shit doesn't exist anymore.
It's weird because that kind of humor is so pervasive. And I kind of, and being a comedian, I'm always thinking, like, all right, so we're all experimenting with permissive language and what the limits are and where the line in the sand is. But watching that sort of stuff, there's a part of me that goes, ah, they're laughing at men, or they're laughing at their people, you know.
They're laughing at the thing that I find.
Yeah,
I
well,
enjoy
they, well
at
do
home
people
if
do people laugh at me then? Because they see if they can see my masculine features, or they can tell that I wasn't born a girl.
Yeah.
That, you know. And also, so I kind of get this double think where I go, I should let them have their fun, but it still stings a little.
Yeah.
You know.
Even though then the first time, then, you know, coming out in a dress or feeling comfortable, then you go, well, are people going to think I'm doing this as a joke, or
is this
taking something away from me that I find fucking very serious?
Yeah. Well, that's what's happened. Like, it's interesting doing gigs, because, like, sometimes
I didn't even think of that in the comedy realm.
Yeah,
you know,
sometimes
what I mean?
I can tell within the first 120 seconds there's a stirring in the audience where I can feel whether people are going, is this an act?
Yeah.
You know, and it's like and that's when I, you know, when I start keep talking about it as being part of my life, then people go, oh, she's for real or something, you know. So yeah, that's
that finger off the, because with comedy, you know, you see 1,000 different things sometimes on stage or whatever, and then I can see how the first couple of 30 seconds must be, you've got to kind of, you must have to do a joke straight away to nail it on the head so you can move on to your normal
got
stuff.
Exactly, and that's kind of like a double-edged thing, because I often
and then you
take
start
it, take
doing something you don't really want to do.
Yeah,
you know what I mean? Like
yeah,
you shouldn't.
Well, that's the thing is the plan really is to kind of eventually move away from the trans material and just sort of like do regular stand-up. I mean, that's what, like,
I feel,
you know,
like, well, every time I see you do stand-up, you don't do a lot at all.
Yeah,
trans
right
stuff. You do the stuff like the question and letters and stuff.
Yeah, yeah.
Like,
you
you'll
know
do like a few.
Yeah, yeah.
But then you just straight up what's the material is usual.
Like,
yeah,
that's good.
Yeah,
but
yeah,
I feel like it's, you got to just, because even in myself, like, I feel like you got to disarm an audience straight away and be like,
yeah,
I'm a hunk of garbage. And then you can do
whatever it is
that you do.
Exactly.
But so when you, so you're always kind of wearing women's clothes.
Mm.
But did you, when kind of click that maybe it was more than that? Like maybe I.
Well, it was more like, yeah, I mean.
Like a light bulb moment that like, fuck, actually I'm a woman.
Yeah, yeah. Well, it's weird because I read this book, right? And like I hate the idea of being one of those wankers that says, I read a book and it changed my life. But,
yeah,
but I read
don't
a
I
book and it changed my life.
Yeah.
You know, there's a book by a trans woman and the book's called Whipping Girl by like Julia Serrano. And her like experiences as a trans woman were so similar to mine. But where like she was a crossdresser for most of her life growing up, and then like, you know, suddenly she just went, oh my god, I've been doing this so long, and this is like how it all joins all the dots. And it was like, because, you know, there's all this terminology that people use in the in the straight world and the trans world, like when people say born in the wrong body, like that is only really a nutshell of a concept of the idea of being trans. So for some people that doesn't necessarily ring true, like. It's not like, you know, for me, it wasn't, I was more like trapped by society's expectations of me rather than kind of going, oh my God, I'm in the wrong body. So, you know, like, and that really broke it down for me because, like, you know, I would try and line up my experiences with what everyone seems to think the trans narrative is, and I'd go, well, this is different. So I must be something different then. I mustn't be trans.
It's kind of because so everyone's got their own unique story within that, you know?
Like, yeah, exactly, yeah, exactly. So it's almost like, because, you know, yeah, it's some people go, like, there's a kind of a common occurrence for a lot of people where they ask themselves, am I trans enough? Which is a weird way to think about it, because basically, like, you know, if you obviously feel strongly about who you are in a certain way, then of course you are. I mean, no, you know, cisgender people don't walk around going, "Oh God, I wish I was a girl," or "Imagine if how better my life would be," or "I wonder what, you know, I would feel so much happier about it." And the fact that my brain would like say these things to me, and I'd go, "No, no, 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 oh, down, you know, down that road lies darkness and woe," and yeah. I, you know, so yeah.
So do you feel like so?
Sorry, am I getting confusing
now? No. I'm just trying to absorb it all. This is one of those episodes where I say very little because I'm just absorbing all the fucking things.
Sure.
And it's also bringing a lot more new perspectives to things and opening my mind, which I fucking love.
Yeah, but the book was like, definitely like it just made me go, oh my God, my who I am and my feelings about myself make sense.
Yeah.
And it was like an exploration of going like,
That was your light bulb where you went, oh, this has been...
Yeah.
Like it was it almost like you didn't know you were born a woman until it was highlighted and then it kind of cleared it all up.
Yeah, pretty much.
Oh, I am
pretty
a woman.
Pretty much society was sort of saying, no, this is the way you're meant to be. And then and what I understood about the way the world works was like I was going, like I just said, you know, that way lies madness. If you do this, like all bets are off, everything that shit's going to come your way and like kind of crumble on top of you. And I would go, oh fuck, well, I don't want that to
really
happen.
That's really fucked, isn't it?
Like, but then of course, like, meeting other women, trans women especially, who just were brave enough to go, no, this is who I am and fuck the haters. Like that was just such a revelation.
So fucking
as well.
Strong doing that. I fucking
unbelievable.
Yeah,
what was the first?
Yeah. Oh man, it's the most powerful thing in the world is that. Like it's just, I you know, I'm lucky that I feel a certain way about, you know, women and how with myself. I don't even question it. But then to be questioning it and then not feel comfortable in yourself and then having the steps to go, you know what, fuck what everyone else thinks. And just being you, that's fucking so strong.
Because there's so much out there that is like work.
Yeah.
Like, when do you start presenting at work?
Yeah. Well, that was weird because I did transition at my job. That was kind of like, you know.
If you don't mind me, in a timeline perspective, was it how many years ago roughly was it that you were comfortably out?
I've been living full time for like 3.5 years. Yeah. But for a period of 6 months before that, I was slowly kind of letting people in to Chloe's world, so to speak. Like, I had some wonderful friends who were very supportive and they were like, and I said, hey, I'm just like, you know, this is this thing that's been going on with me. And so when we would have this weekly TV night, we'd watch Game of Thrones, whatever's the latest thing to download. And then like...
little bits and pieces.
Yeah. And so I'd say like, you know, when I come over next week, I'm going to want to be Chloe and hang out with you guys and like, you know, stuff like that.
Fantastic.
And so what would be happening was like...
chipping away.
Yeah. I would sort of like... And I had a separate Facebook profile and everybody, I would slowly bring people into the world, into my world and say, here's this other profile, blah, blah. And it's so strange because like coming out these days is such a strange kind of misnomer of an idea because really what it felt like to me was coming out meant coming out on Facebook. Like that was the final kind of straw. Like, you know, that was the public
social
reveal.
And then people you don't even know you haven't seen in years, you know what I mean? Yeah.
Wow.
And so it was really, you know, kind of cool.
Was there anyone who was like, no?
No, I'm really lucky. All my friends are all artists, comedians, or drama student weirdos. And so they're like, oh, that's you now. That's awesome. But I've met some wonderful, beautiful women, especially in Hobart, who just are not that lucky. They either come from really like blue collar jobs or they come from like very religious families or they're just straight. You know, I know people that don't see their kids anymore, which is bullshit.
You know? You can't see their kids anymore.
And and only because the other partner just goes, you're wrong. What you're doing is wrong. And they just go, oh, okay.
And with you, if you don't mind me digging, with asking about your kid, was that process? Obviously, would have been a little bit of work, you know.
I mean, it's kind of. I mean, obviously, you know, he turns 9 this year, and so I would have probably talked to him, come out to him when he's 5. I mean, on one hand, I'm really lucky because kids don't have any of those filters. They just kind of go, this is what's happening now. And I feel like a bit spoiled because my son Max has a front row seat. In regards to things to gender, he has a sibling from a previous relationship, like a sibling, you know, his mum had a kid before we were together. Mm-hmm. And that sibling identifies as non-binary. And so they changed their name. And so it's really lovely because we were playing like the game of life. We had friends over and playing game of life. And, you know, you get a little car and you pink out the either pink or a blue peg in the car. And then Max just goes, so are you he, she or they? That's really sweet.
A little legend.
You know? I'm not out of the woods, and I totally understand that, like, there's a, like, a, even a, you know, there's more responsibility to come. I can't worry about whether when he becomes a teenager, when it's all about looking cool and having cool parents and like being, you know, either
I think that you will be cool.
I feel pretty cool.
Yeah, I think hopefully the tide changes so much. It's like, it's the other way. Like, man, that's fucking awesome.
Yeah. But I worry about whether he'd be teased on my behalf. Like, you know, your mum's a weirdo or what's up with your whatever, you know. But that's the
worst part is fucking hell. Kids are just fucking cruel, unfortunately. And it's probably going to happen. But I think it's, you know, if you've got a great support network around you, and it sounds like you do, you know, and he's used to those situations by having another non-binary sibling and things
like
that.
Yeah, exactly.
You know, he's got the cards up the sleeves.
Fucking hell. So do you, can I ask about
transitioning? Sure. Well, what do you need to know?
Have you...
like medication?
Medication and stuff.
I'm on hormones and like...
And what does that do? That stops your beard growing? Or?
Yeah, like basically... So you take two medications. Like I haven't had any bottom surgery, as they call it. Mm. So you have to...
I know someone that's had bottom surgery.
Yeah. They love the people.
There's a comedian, Avery. Breast of the Fest, Avery.
What's a bottom surgery?
Is like, you know,
cut it off.
Oh, okay. Yep. Okay. I was like, get your chicks lifted. I was like, bottom. And I was like, is that a thing?
Woo.
Oh, yeah. Why did that take so long for me to click on that one? Fucking hell. Wake up, Brett.
Because it's so extra polite, I think.
Yeah, like, I know. I think you said it so nicely.
You say, like, you know, they got the chop. You mean they got the chop?
Yeah.
So,
you know, but, I take, like, you know, take testosterone blockers because it's really sweet. It's all this chemicals and stuff because apparently estrogen and testosterone don't get along. So if you have a body that produces testosterone and you just take estrogen, like the pill or whatever, the testosterone will actually eat at the estrogen and not make it work properly. So you have to actually take your testosterone down to like a really like low level. Most men have testosterone levels that are in the double figures, and mine's about 3 or 4 now, something that's practically non-existent. So,
oh, great.
So, you know, it means that my facial hair doesn't grow as quickly, which is nice. But then I get boobies and then
what about your top?
Your testosterone blocker, dudes.
Well, I know people. Yeah, some people have like their bald patches have gone or something.
Cassie's hair came back. I was like, Jesus.
Yeah, that's right.
That was one of the things with Cassie that broke my heart because I was like, come on, Cass. Like, I really wanted her to have hair.
Yeah,
because
right.
I feel like it's so unfair to have been born technically a man and go bald. Yeah. And you are a woman and you don't get to have hair.
Yeah,
it's like,
exactly.
Fucking nasty bastards.
I saw her show last night. God, it's amazing.
Yeah.
It's really good.
So your hair, no problem. Yeah. Got some boobies.
Yeah.
Yes.
A friend of mine who is trans, a woman, found that had to, for some reason, was on medication for years and everything was fine, you know, got breast implants, still has a dick. The most feminine thing I've ever seen. She's just so stunning. Like, you wouldn't be able to pick it. She's had a lot of surgery, but she's beautiful.
Yeah.
She said that something happened around 8 years.
Right.
Her testosterone tried to come through again.
Oh, wow.
So she had to take extra medication to block it and stuff. But it made her, when she came, nothing would come out.
Oh, wow.
Like, it was like
a weird
puff of smoke. It was nothing.
That's very strange.
Yeah. So, and she did, and she did porn, and she's like, I need the cum shots.
Get a fake dick in. Bring it in. Get the old custard chucker out.
Like, what the fuck? She's like, I need my cum shots. So she's like, what do I do? Like,
oh, no.
So they had to readjust. She had to go through a period of like readjusting medication, affecting her skin,
And sure. Is the medication expensive? Is it a big financial outlay?
Not
or?
Really. It's on the PBS. So
fuck. Like, all right, that's the other thing I was going to say.
Healthcare card, it's like $6 or something a month.
You know. Sick. Oh, that's good. I was just worried, you know, hopefully it didn't put you into a sinkhole of fucking dick.
But yeah, that's thankful. Thank fuck for Medicare, though. People in America, it's like forking over shit.
Man,
tons of money.
We do shit on our governments fucking sometimes, but I think it's good that they've put it on there. You know what I mean? That's important.
A friend of mine had a crowdfund to get some surgeries done, and all they wanted to get done was the apple shave.
Oh, yeah. Yeah.
And a nose job.
Yeah.
And they just pulled a bit of skin up from the chin. just like in terms of their transitioning, just to kind of be a bit more.
Yeah, some women are very self-conscious about the Adam's apple because it's kind of a bit of a
hers giveaway. Was pretty prominent.
Yeah, yeah.
And I knew her as a, you know, as a male, and now as a female.
Yeah,
and she was pretty masculine as a male.
Yeah, for sure.
So,
and
big nose, big features. So yeah, it was just, and now it's very like just shaving the nose, just taking all these things away, just to kind of help her a bit.
For sure, for sure.
Very tall. Which is a tallness is the burden of the trans woman as well. Yeah.
Well, that's the thing.
Also a good thing as well, though. You know what I mean? Yeah. Like, who's this big Amazon being?
Because you're asking about like transitioning, obviously.
Yeah.
Like, and then this falls back into what I was talking about, the narrative, right? So I have a pretty awesome relationship with my penis, and I never thought that, you know, for a part of me that would like think, oh, it's something I want to get rid of or something that, you know, I want to change. I mean, my thoughts and feelings have kind of changed over time. But back then it was like, well, don't they all just want to get it, like get the surgery? Don't they all want to get a vagina? Like that must be
But you don't.
And I don't. And then I would think, well, I must be different then. I must
but
be.
But you
something.
Are. And
I know.
Sort of,
yeah,
that's
yeah.
That's okay.
Exactly. Exactly.
That's
exactly.
Okay.
But that was like part of my denial. You know,
even that
like,
thing. Yeah, when you go, well, if I want to be this way, I've still got to tick all these boxes. You're like, no, no, no. I want to be over here, but I still want to be the this. Nice. And I'm my own. You
look
know?
At my mate. That's like he's married to a man. You know,
for sure,
and like presenting tits as a woman, but like I love my dick. Didn't want to get rid of the tits.
Yeah, exactly.
I want a vagina.
Yeah, for sure, for sure.
So, what are you? So, are you a lesbian?
Bisexual.
Bisexual. Okay.
Yeah.
Right.
Yeah.
That's fun.
Yeah, yeah. So you know,
best of both worlds.
Yeah, or as the kids call it, pansexual. So you know,
right. Pansexual. But, explain.
What's pansexual now?
Okay. Yeah, right.
So many new words for to learn.
Yeah.
I've heard it, but
I
never
love
asked.
Crockery.
Me too. I respect Teflon.
What is that? Yeah, nonstick.
Yeah.
Oh God.
Yeah.
Oh,
God. Or cast iron. But I don't know, isn't it? I mean, basically, of course, you know, pan. I mean, bisexual kind of it kind of references that there are two genders. But I mean, of course, it can also mean that you either are, you know, into other genders. Pansexual is kind of like saying, well, if there's more than two genders, say, well, let's cut it off at eight, because people are saying there's 50 or 70 or something like that, and I think that's a bit, can we just have a starter kit?
Eight genders.
yeah.
What, female, male,
non-binary.
Non-binary.
But then we have bi-gender, people who maybe like, you know, they either present as male at work or they're female at home or something like that.
Yeah.
And then there's like, what's the word?
Trans.
Agender, having no gender, which is a bit like being non-binary.
Yeah.
And stuff like that. Or, you know, people who present quite masculinely, but consider themselves
feminine. So pansexual is someone who has...
So pansexual is someone who really, the bottom line is you like the person's personality, really, regardless of
a people person.
how they look, or what genitals they have, or whatever
else. It
doesn't
matter. Any hole's a goal.
Yeah.
I mean, yeah, if you want to phrase it the way that, we would, but yeah. I think you're just attracted to the person.
Or lots of dicks to pick, I don't know.
Do you have a preference?
Well, not really.
Because you were with puss for a long time.
Yeah. But I've been getting some. So,
from who? Oh, not you don't have to say the name. But
oh
like,
no, it's all right.
A lady or a male?
A guy. He's in Hobart. He comes to visit every couple of weeks, and like you know, right. It's kind of a.
And they are a.
A man.
A man.
Yeah.
Right.
And it's awesome. I mean, we you know like. It's so weird in the dating world, especially being trans,
I'm curious.
Because like basically, it's sort of you sort of have to meet the world in the middle, really. Because like I have a Tinder profile, and it says quite clearly I'm trans on my Tinder profile. But then you get those men that just kind of they swipe right a thousand times, and you match with them, and then they start talking to you, and you go, look, just go back and read my profile. And then they just ghost or they run away or something like that.
I have a dick.
Yeah. Or they can be really crass because they I mean, you have to sort of walk this thin line where it's like, you know, I would like to like, well, you know, like basically they say stuff like, have you had the surgery? Or like, you know, what do you have with you? And it's like, you're pretty much, they're just ticking you off their sexual bucket list. Like they go, oh, I get to have sex with a trans woman, so I'm going to tick that box. And it's like, well, can you just at least pretend to have read a book or like, or talk to me about something interesting? And that's what's interesting is that you can go on Grindr, where it's like lots of other trans women use Grindr because basically if you're looking for a man who's not afraid of a penis, that's probably the most prime target to go for. But then, of course, you then have to deal with them like thinking that your gender or your identity is not real, or that you are like just like any other like twink or guy on there or something like that. And then they're like, you know,
twink, you know, cubby, teddy bear.
Yeah, exactly. They're like, you know, ticking you off the bucket list, and they may not even like understand how what it means to know
like
or talk
data,
to.
Mate. Yeah,
I think we're just proving it doesn't matter where it's fucked.
Exactly.
It's just
I was
like,
hoping the grass was greener over there, but no, it's still fucked.
But then I met this guy on Grindr, and like and what I really like about it after like him just we'd just been hanging out for maybe 4 or 5 months is like, you know, and it's so super casual. It's basically it's funsies really. But it's like one of the two things I like the most is I'm not his dirty little secret. It's not like, you know, you know, we're friends on Facebook, we comment on each other's stuff. Well, no, I've got to respect his privacy with a modicum of like respect. But at the same time, he's not like just going, no, our worlds must not collide. You must not enter the realm of me. He's like, you know.
Yeah.
And also, like, he gets it. He doesn't, you know, he treats me like a woman. So it's like, you know.
He does.
Yeah. So, you know, there's no, like, it's not a novelty for him. It's like, I'm me when I'm around him, which is really good.
That's great. But,
there is something really.
A positive thing on this fucking dating show. Jesus Christ, I don't have it often.
I like it though, because I think that a trans woman is like the best, because like if I slept with a trans woman, I've got some titties to play with and suck on, and then I've got a dick that's gonna fuck me good.
I feel like you may have sold it to you today.
And double wardrobe.
That's right. You know, bit of something.
Like, something. Have you? I mean, have you had some bad experience in public? Like.
Oh, you mean dating wise? You mean like,
well,
or in the privacy of my own home?
Well, it's funny because I knew you way back when, and it wasn't until I kind of saw you up close that I went, "Oh shit!"
Yeah, right.
You know what I mean? I did not know, did not click.
Yeah,
we had met. You know, when, and for those who don't know that. When someone does transition, we don't refer to their old name. It's their dead name.
Yeah, that person is dead. But yes, we were like, I mean.
We knew each other through the open mic circuit before I moved to
That's America. Right, before you went to New York. Yeah. That's right. Yeah.
And that's why I went, I couldn't remember your dead name either.
Yeah, right.
Like, well, I was like trying to remember.
Yeah. That's the interesting thing about comedy festivals. Mm. Like, I've had to reintroduce myself so many times. It's been hilarious.
Yeah.
Like, it's a fresh start.
Yeah.
You know what it is.
I mean, I saw Chris Wainhouse the other week. At a show, and he was like, "Hey, I'm Chris," and I was like, "I'm Chloe," and he's like, "Oh, great!" And then I was like, "Yeah, we toured Sydney like 12 years ago, like, you know," and then it clicked, you know, and he was like, "Oh wow, that's great."
Yeah,
but it was like that's happened 2 or 3 times this festival. Like, I reintroduced myself to Brad Oaks and stuff like that. Yeah. And it's like, you know,
but that's our, you know, they're like,
oh, it's made it entertaining and interesting, but it's always that sort of like. Or am I beginning this conversation again? Like, you know, or like just like, how do I broach this? Like, respecting myself. I met another comic who I won't name, but yeah, I know. I thought this would be interesting, right?
Spill your beans.
His name rhymes with Bark Muttler.
I still don't know who that is.
Oh, good. Yeah.
Tell me later.
No,
it's okay.
All right.
All right, we'll talk about it later. Yeah.
But yeah, he was like, I don't know. I mean, my standard joke with people is basically if they get my name or my pronouns wrong, I usually say, hey, it's okay. Everyone gets 10 goes. And like, you know, sure, we all start the new year, like signing our checks for the last year. So everyone's got a time to catch up. But he was like he just got it wrong for the word go. And I said, aha, everyone gets 10 goes. And within about 3 minutes, he was down to 6. And like,
that's just rude.
And I was like, you're not catching up with it, are you? And like, you know, and he was like, oh, I knew Chloe when she was XYZ, and now he is Chloe. And
oh,
like,
fuck
and
off. Who is this fucking asshole?
Yeah.
Like that shit.
And now, then they said, and when I met him just recently on the street, I still couldn't work out whether it was an act or not. I was like, is this an act?
Is this an act? This person is a terrible person.
Yeah.
And then after the show, you tell me their name and they're never coming anywhere.
And then I killed it at the festival club. I had a freaking excellent spot.
Yeah, great.
And then he walked up to me afterwards and shook my hand and said, you're much funnier as a woman than you were as a man.
Oh, that's fucked.
I was like, you are trying so hard to think you're glib and funny, but that's just wrong. Like,
is that Mark Butler?
Yeah, yeah. Rhymes with Bark Mutler.
Yeah, I'll beep that out.
Let's beep that out.
I don't know who that person is.
He's so irrelevant, it's not even...
What a fucking cunt.
Yeah, yeah. And that was like, just like, oh man, you know, you gotta pick your battles. And I was like, yeah.
Remind me to beep that out. Yeah.
But they're doing it on purpose, like trying to make you... I feel like that was trying to make you feel bad.
Yeah,
like,
I know you want to get away
with it, but I got it.
There was a bit of that. But also a thing of like, you know, I think people go... Oh, this is really interesting. This is how I play it. This is my hot take. And they try and like just...
You know, trying to be funny or something. You're just being a fucking cunt, mate. Grow up.
No. And I go, I know, maybe, you know, I think, I had a great set. Maybe you're complimenting me, but it's still a really rough compliment.
No, like, I'm not okay with that.
No, it's backhanded and it's actually fucking rude.
It is. It's like giving you a hug and a slap in the face at the same time.
Yeah,
backhanded. It's not... That's someone who... They're not trying to be funny. They're trying to get a rise out of you.
Because then when
you go, what the fuck, man? They'll be like... Look at the funny tranny.
That's the kind of thing. She's getting knocked up.
I'm not okay with that at all. What a fucking jerk face.
What the fuck? That's it.
Oh, I'm so mad.
Yeah, let's get a hit on him. Let's
What
the fuck?
Look,
man?
If it makes you feel better, I don't think he's ever gigging ever anyway.
He trots out a show every festival, but he's like, I don't think he's on the circuit.
Hey, can I ask a question?
Sure.
Why is there about 6 or 7, female, like trans women in comedy, zero trans men?
I have no idea.
Why?
Like there are...
You notice that?
There are many...
Cassie, Chloe, Anna. There's another one in Sydney.
I don't know what you're asking.
Oh, so like, trans women.
I know what you're asking, but you're like, why isn't there more? I'm like, we don't control this, Kelly.
Yeah.
I wonder...
There's a trans...
Anna Piper's got the same thing.
Yeah, there's a trans man comedian in the States called Ian Harvey.
Okay.
He's great. Because
even in New York, there is a ton of trans women.
Yeah, right, comedy. Right. Yeah, right, of course, yeah. I'm not sure. Like, maybe, who knows? It's like...
Maybe there's someone you don't even know.
Yeah, yeah, maybe. That's true. Maybe they're stealth,
it's about the job, the role of comedy comedian.
But I
find that's interesting because I don't know if there's a problem within the scene that they're not getting nurtured to be able to open up.
Yeah, yeah. Or something. Yeah, exactly.
This is Melbourne as well, though. You know what I mean? Yeah. I don't feel like that would happen here.
No.
It's quite the opposite. I can't speak from other people's perspectives, but from what I've seen in the scene, I like to think that Melbourne's quite supportive. Particularly in the open mic rooms and things like that.
I hope
that hasn't changed.
Yeah. So I don't know. I really can't put my finger on it. I keep thinking of lots of different reasons, or just that, you know, maybe trans men don't feel accepted, or maybe that, you know.
Maybe they want to do, forgive me if this is the wrong thing to say, but maybe trans men want to do blokey jobs. Maybe they want to be on a work site. Maybe like this is too artsy for them. I don't know. Who knows? Before we wrap up, is there just one last thing you want to sort of say to people who aren't familiar with anyone in the trans world that you just want to...
Any tips, advice?
Yeah, I don't know. Don't be that dude saying you're money as a woman. I just be respectful. That's really it. I mean, basically, of course, you know, it's like people have all this kind of goomba about I should be able to call you whatever I want, and I know you as this, so that's what I'm going to call you.
I don't understand that.
They've just asked to be respected, so you know, like.
I don't understand that. Like, I've got my heels in the ground and not refusing to like evolve.
If that's what I'm saying.
I just don't get why people are like, oh bloody, what am I supposed to call you?
Yeah,
just,
and that's what I find frustrating.
It doesn't matter, Frank from Dandenong.
Exactly.
Don't worry about it.
Also, I love the fact that you said, "I'll give you 10 goes," because sometimes I have made a friend of mine and I a good friend of mine who I've worked with for 10 years, and I fucked up,
yeah,
and right. I misgendered her, and I felt really fucking bad. And then, you know, we didn't have a falling out, but it was a stern email, and I realized I fucked up.
Yeah.
But a part of my soul wanted to go like, I've known you 8 years one way.
Yeah, yeah, for sure.
This is new for me, and I really like the fact that you said, you know what, you get 10 goes.
I admit I am more...
give me a chance.
I'm more stupid than I am malicious, if that makes sense. I just honestly forgot.
And I
tried so hard. And I fucked up because I'm human. And if you can, it didn't come from a mean and malicious place.
When there's no malice, I feel like it's unfair to be like, yell and scream.
Yeah, totally. Oh,
it wasn't that. I just felt real bad that I'd done it.
Being a trans person, being a visible trans person, there's always that. My biggest fear was that people would assume that I had some cause to champion, or that somehow, you know, I was going to be the person who's red carding everybody for like getting stuff wrong. And it's like, you know, that's not me.
I'm just going to be me.
Yeah.
I do remember Bill Burr on Conan, where Caitlyn Jenner transitioned.
Yeah.
And he said, you know, guys, I never got a chance to mourn the death of Bruce.
Yeah, right.
And he's
right.
like, I loved Bruce. I love, you know, blah, 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 all this stuff. Mm-hmm. He goes, but I never got the chance. And he got a lot of trouble for saying that. But there was something about that
that
I really respected. Because it's true. You're like, I have to mourn the loss of something. Yeah. And then I can appreciate the birth of something new.
Yeah, there's a kernel of truth to it. And I think that, you know, people love to be outraged. And people love to just, you know, go, you know, oh my God, he said X, Y, Z, but I'm sure he means A, B, C. So,
we're
all going
to listen a little bit more.
Chloe, where can people find you? Where can comedy websites and stuff like that?
On Facebook, Chloe Black Comedian, or Twitter, it's at Evil Chloe Black. And, there's Chloe Black Comedy on Instagram.
Perfect.
And you know, I wrap up this like season tonight.
Last show.
My God,
fuck, we've done it.
Jesus.
Exactly.
Oh my God, I'm fucking over this festival.
But maybe I'll be back next year. Who knows?
Yeah.
Like, I've been networking my butt off, and I've made a few connections that next year might be even sweeter. So if you could,
hopefully.
Brittany, where are you? Are you on tour?
I'll be on the road somewhere. I don't know. Look at the website.
Well, we're hoping to take this to a few states. So just keep you posted.
We've got a tour coming up, I think, with Fine Hacks. We're gonna do 4 days in a row.
Come to Hobart.
If we get the listeners there, we're gonna go. We're gonna try and do it's this wild plan. I don't know if it's gonna work. We're gonna try and do Adelaide, Brisbane, Perth, Sydney, and then in 5 days and just go.
Yeah.
If the people are there, God, if I get 40 people there, that's a show.
If we can get 40 people a show,
that'd be great.
Two podcasts back to back.
Yeah.
Plus a bit of stand up.
Yeah.
2 hour show.
Patreon. Join our Patreon. Join it.
Join the Patreon if you want to hear Kelly's breakup story. Yeah. Because that's where it is.
And
if you hear
I name drop in it too, which is really exciting.
You
want
to hear the name of the comedian who was mean to me.
let's be honest, it's me editing it, and I generally forget. So, and also, fuck it.
Anyway, you shame him. Fuck him.
Yeah.
All right. Thanks, Chloe.
No worries. Thanks, guys.
Honestly,
it was great fun.
Thank you, mate.
No worries.
All right, bye.
Bye.